Oh, look at it. Did you look at it? Did you look at it? You guys have this. It's not up yet. We don't have the...
Oh, so yeah, it is on.
Yeah, the screen is on.
So we're ready to start. So, is she going to be okay?
We are ready to go. Good
morning. So good morning, everyone. Welcome to our Women in the Economy Commission and our June 4th meeting. My name is Senator Lusa Camilla, and I'm currently one of the new elected co-chairs. So we haven't elected our other co-chairs, that's why there's an empty seat here. We are just excited and just thrilled to be back. And you know, it's a little bit of a new era for our Women in the Economy Commission. So we lost our two previous co-chairs that are now enjoying retirement and doing a lot of fun things. And we'll talk a little bit more about how we're going to recognize the work. But I want to first to welcome everyone to this commission and just really the opportunity of what we're going to do moving forward is encouraging, and hopefully we get to get more people coming into our meeting. So the first item in our agenda is to approve our minutes. And if I have any motions on that, that'll be great.
So moved.
Excellent. We have a motion by Commissioner Melita. I can say your last name without killing it.
You can say anything.
That's right. Right. We do have a motion to approve our minutes for our Tuesday, December 4th meeting. Do I have a second on that motion?
No,
I
can't either.
Judy, second that. Everyone in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Great. So now we have approval of our minutes. I also want to take this opportunity to welcome a new member to our commission, and now that one of our good representatives from our House on the Democratic side to introduce herself and tell us more about her and why is she excited to join us in this commission. Go ahead, Representative Wong.
Thank you. I'm Elizabeth Waite. Should I push the button?
Uh-huh. Yes, please, it helps
there.
Me there. Okay.
Okay.
Good. I'm Representative Elizabeth Waite. I represent the north area of West Valley City, which is District 31, House District 31. I am a 32-year career teacher, junior high and high school. Junior high for 23 years, which I always say when I want to impress people, because they all go, wow, how did you
impress
me? it was good work. It was. I enjoyed it a lot. That's why I stayed doing it. I during that time became an active union member, leader, and activist, and that's where I gained a lot of appreciation for democratic process. And I served in leadership positions with the American Federation of Teachers, and I'm currently the Secretary of Treasury for the Central Utah Labor Federation of Labor. Which is an affiliate organization of AFL-CIO unions in the area. Let's see, I have one son. He turns 45 this year, which is one of the, my mother always said, you know, when you tell your age, it makes me look really old. Mm-hmm. Now I'm to that point, have a 45-year-old son. Let's see, what else? I am a former professional musician for a short while. Because that's how I met my husband. We were both brass players. He was trumpet and I was trombone. So we did professional touring, and he played a lot more commercial jazz and additional to the symphony and taught at the university. He has been dead for 27 years. So that's part of my experience that just gives me opportunity to reflect on what women do in life when they're single, and when I've been single long enough to have gone through subsequent dating eras. That's why I'm still single.
Hey, me too.
Anyway, I'm excited to be here because, but there are all reflective pieces on the positions that we have when we're supporting families, when we're supporting households, when we want to continue our education, when we want to advance in our workplaces. And that's one of the reasons that I've become more and more interested. I tend to like economic definition as well. So I probably take up more time.
That's perfect. We appreciate that. And it's important sometimes to get the background of how we're all sitting together and the many things you share and the things that make different experiences that also bring us together. Thank you for that, for sharing that introduction. So let me just, from the last meeting in December when we discussed our process and having new leadership coming in, both House and the Senate change the membership of the representatives both from the House and Senate, except I'm the only one that stayed from the previous group. So as of yesterday, now it's official that Senator Milner will be the other senator sitting and serving in our commission. And from the House, in the majority side, it will be Representative Visiting. So she wasn't able to attend, so that's already an official appointment, and she'll be joining us on the next meeting. So just as a matter of information in terms of our membership, that's kind of like the changes. So Representative White coming in, representing the minority in the House. I represent the minority as well in the Senate, and then Senator Milner and Representative Lissandy coming from the other membership. So, well, this is great. I think we're set. Let me just tell you guys a little bit on what we're going to do. We're going to have a report from our commissioner, Judy Burnett, about the great Utah Women in the Trade Career Conference, and also a small presentation. And let's not say her, it was very successful. My colleague, Representative Maine, was a key presenter and host of that conference, and we were very happy to support her. We pushed that to our social media I've heard you guys had a great attendance. So we'll go to that, and then we'll continue with our agenda.
We need to be able to get the screen up.
Okay. All right. So here's what I'm going to do. So I want to get first Judy's mic, and then our guests, and you'll introduce yourself in a minute.
Okay.
And then I am going to. Does anyone know how this thing works?
No.
Should I call the
video? I can do this, right? And then is the witness? Is it in your computer?
It's on my computer. Okay.
I've
got a white screen.
No,
okay,
I can
get to a graphic if you.
All the lights are down.
Yeah, but
good job.
Here
you go. We're on.
Oh, perfect.
I'm
not
with
you guys, right? Okay.
We're not on here.
So, but she is on there. So, let me.
Do we need to do it
over
here?
No.
Usually, that's what I want to use.
Are we on? No, not yet. Okay, wait. So we have a presentation. Let me take me to the control room. So it has a witness, and then I need to let her share that with us because it is shows in hers and in that one.
It is. It's up there.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
Do you want to go over one?
Yes.
You know, Texas.
It seems to be pretty.
I would come collaborate.
We don't ever.
I don't think I need
that.
We can just
see that.
I don't have it. I don't know how to do the computer, so let's just take a look.
Let me call for a second.
Collaboration.
Yeah. Sylvie, are you here at Capitol? Can you help? Can you call someone from IT? I'm co-chairing a committee at House Building, room 25, and I don't know how to work the machine or the presentations to share on computers. Okay, I'll be here. Thanks. Okay, sorry. So Dias is this, so left and right, I can see that, but then, like, if I have you, so if I put this, is when it shows in your area, but I'm trying to, like, how do you connect all of them?
Presentation.
Let's try to see, exit, And then we'll go to video select, maybe?
Possibly. I click share.
Oh, a light coming on.
I'm going to see what happens with that. Did
you see a red button flashing?
Yeah.
Red button.
Oh. Look, so I don't know
there.
If that was...
Maybe.
Well, I just touched the on button on my monitor. But I'm looking at the others just to see if... It just says analog and HTML in the top.
Oh, yeah, there's some lines that are up there.
HDMI. But I don't see it on that one or that one.
No comment, sorry. Well, let's jump to the next item if that's okay with you.
Perfect.
We're waiting for staff to come in and figure this out. So I apologize for the time. It won't happen again. I'll learn how to do this. So let me maybe start the conversation of voting, and then we'll go back to the Utah Women in the Trade Career Conference presentation and just to hear more about what happened in that arena. But we, as I mentioned at the beginning of the meeting, we co-chair, there's two co-chairs to this Women in the Economy Commission. The statute is pretty clear that it really could be any one of our members. And I was maybe hoping that we can get one of our commissioners that's not an elected official to co-chair in this time and, you know, try that process. And I think that will bring a good balance and also show some good representation to the people outside that we're trying to balance in the legislative, you know, presence and our commissioners from all the different backgrounds. So we do have an opportunity to elect the co-chair today, and I hope that we can do that and take that out of our to-do list, and we can then move forward with future meetings. So I want to put it up for discussion. If you guys feel we can take care of that, that process today, and with that, I think the most appropriate thing is to open the time for individuals that may be interested to, be elected or as a co-chair for this group, and I'll open up for discussion for the commissioners. Yes, our Commissioner Kathy Barnes from UWS. Let's see. I'm ready. There we go.
Thank you. I don't know how long I've been on the commission, a few years, I think, and it's always been two legislators that have chaired it, but the majority of the membership are women like you all who are in the workforce, and I think that's a valuable perspective to have as a co-chair on this commission. So I would like to nominate, I don't know if that's the way you say it,
yep.
Melissa Breeding to co-chair the commission. She has a lot of great experience and helping women in the economy and in the workforce. So,
my two
cents. Great nomination. And you two have a bucket.
And Jim, I'd like to second that nomination.
Okay. So we have a motion to nominate Commissioner Melissa for co-chair the group. And we do have a second to that nomination by Commissioner Barnett. Now we do have the person that's been nominated. You may have a say in that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. You okay with that?
Yeah. There we go. Okay.
Thank you. I would love to co-chair. So thank you very, very much. That was really meaningful. So thank you. I have one sort of caveat, and I don't know if there's a workaround, but I know that the membership has to have, like, I represent small business, and I took a position. I'm new. As of Monday, I'm the new director of the Prosperity Center of Excellence in Beaver County. So I'd still love to maybe be an at-large or something like that, but I think we would want to replace a small business as well. So I don't know if that's something that we could do within the membership regulations, but I would love to do that. I think I'm looking around the room, and I think I have the most tenure on, even more Kathy than...
Because it's Carrie, you're going to be
before.
Yeah, it
was okay. Carrie. Oh,
I
Julie
and I,
Carrie.
Yeah.
I
think Senator.
Yeah.
I'll
yeah.
Move first.
So anyway, I'd love to. So I don't know if that's doable.
Okay.
Do you know off the top of your head what seat you're holding? Is it the business with fewer than 50 employees?
I think so. small business and the Karen is the large.
I thought I was, I've been here since day one. I kind of thought I was all for small business, but I might have been mistaken, but I've always thought I was small business.
You know what? Let me just look up the board member.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're now checking membership, just to clarify. So the statute, the way it's structured, is it requires representation from those communities. And but what's interesting about the language is you just need to represent maybe based on your experience. Or, I mean, how not necessarily, I don't know if that's that prescriptive, but we'll check. And I think the intent is really to have people that are obviously working in this field. But, yeah. You know, as we're checking, we will, you know, just disconnect for a minute until we have IT figures out and explain to me what's it. Thank you.
So, a presentation
that you asked me about the
membership earlier. There has to be a certain
people in your representative. So, a senator, maybe.
And where did she come in?
What are you using? So, it shows you whether it's like, does it show
on both of these are on, just the.
How are these on?
Right.
Yeah, this is where it's not, the bias is where it's not.
Appointed by the governor. Is 250.
So Melissa, we have you as a representative of a business with 50 or more employees, but fewer than 500 employees. And so
you
yeah,
think
it makes
you
sense that she's less than 50 employees. You're 50 to 500.
She's 50 to 500. Okay, she's in the next category.
Okay. So according to Kathy, Commissioner Manos Kathy from DWS, she just clarified. So for membership purposes, is it, I'm sorry, and the Commissioner Wallace, right?
Yeah.
I'm really blunt. This is, I'm not wearing my glasses. It's not fine. I should probably wear them. I can't see. The Commissioner Wallace is actually representing a member that represents business with less than 50 employees.
Mm-hmm.
And Commissioner Wells, who do you work for? Is it
the
We're off. Thank you, sir. We appreciate your help.
Thank you.
This is not optimum mode. Is that
it'll go away.
Okay.
I've
worked for the Women's Business Center at Utah, representing all entrepreneurial women in the state. Most of them are under probably 5 million, but yeah.
And they're mostly small businesses, under 50, which is like 90% of businesses in Utah. Okay, so that answers that question, and then we have Commissioner Lenardi representing the large businesses, right, the 500 plus businesses, which are a very small number of them. And then you were representing between 50 and 500, correct?
Mm-hmm. So we will need to, because you're going to be working for the county?
It's an interagency, so it'll be Weber County, Weber Morgan Health, and Weber Human Services. So it's its own entity.
Is it a nonprofit?
It is not its own technically yet. Like, we don't have our own EIM, mm-hmm. but yeah, its own entity. It's the Prosperity Center. So, and it will be working with industry. It'll be working with poverty issues, IGP. I mean, it'll be representative of.
Oh,
yeah.
So the hiccup is that the code limits it to 11 members, and they're all either by title or. An organization, and you're not really fitting into one. There is one that says an individual from a nonprofit or organization that addresses issues related to domestic violence, but Amber Holder is the one serving.
The only one who's there.
Yeah, and I serve on the Safe Harbor Advisory Committee in the county.
Okay.
But I obviously I can't. I mean, if there's specific representation, then. Unless you have multiple members inside of one of those.
No, it says specifically 11 members.
Yeah, with each
shall consist of 11 members, so that there's no wiggle room. But
well, food for thought. Let's go then back to
you. The can't company. Leave your job. Sorry, you have to stay.
From an interim, okay. Because there's so many changes, I'd be happy to serve interim until we can.
Because I think it also says that she's going to tell them another appointment to make.
You know? Yeah.
So, well, I think, so this is my two cents into this. It is, so what the legislation is very concrete is it shall have 11 members. So that's pretty prescribed, but the expectation is, I think the intent of saying businesses, representing businesses between 50 and 500 is, that is not those large corporations, although very small businesses, and I think with the amount of more entities that will be part of the Prosperity organization, I feel comfortable that you could continue because you will be working with those businesses anyway. So, with the motion that we had from Commissioner Ramos and then second by Commissioner Burnett to appoint Commissioner Melanie Stefani as our co-chair, I say we move forward under that premise. And then if there is any other questions or we have to check with our legal counsel, we'll do. But I feel that was the intent of the legislation. And, you know, like in the other cases, we have people that represent just those groups because of their experience and their expertise. So with that, we do have a motion and a second. Is everyone in favor to having Commissioner Frank as our co-chair for the Women in the Foundation?
Aye.
Any opposition? By acclamation, that's perfect.
Good job. Congrats.
Sit up here. So I appreciate our guests being very patient. So I'm going to give the thumb again to Commissioner Burnett. She'll make the introduction. And just make sure you introduce yourself now so you can have your name on the record and your position.
Okay, so thank you, Commissioner. I'd like to personally introduce Marcia Stevenson. She's with the Utah AFL-CIO. We hired her in January, and she was like a complete answer to a prayer as I started on this journey for Utah Women in the Trades. Marta comes with years and years of experience with labor unions in design and printing and office management. She is the administrative assistant to President Worthington, and I have stepped down from that position, leaving me some wiggle room to do a couple of projects, which without her help, I would have been completely overwhelmed. So when you see the products that we're going to be talking about, you'll understand why it's so important that you have, when I say, well, I really want this, and she puts it on paper and up everything. She's amazing. So she's going to start the video. It's a film that SpyHop, we paid SpyHop to produce for us. So we showed this. I mean, you should go through it just the way we showed it to the ladies. And then after, get your little program out, I'll just briefly tell you our intention of what we were trying to accomplish. So, roll them, Marta. I had never done construction before in my life. I'm 5 feet tall and I'm a woman, but there hasn't been anything that I cannot do. I can go out and I can do this and I can be an equal and I can make a good living at it. I don't need to depend on someone else. I don't need to work two or three jobs. I have the exact same opportunities that any other individual on site has. I just might have a different perspective, which is what's so powerful about women in the industry is that we can bring a little bit different perspective. I was working 2004 and I was struggling just to like pay my bills and make it, you know. Now I work for the union, and that's all I do. I don't work a second job, you know, and I can afford to live my lifestyle.
What the union provides is an opportunity to have a better life. Being in a union is about something bigger than yourself. It's about a group of people coming together for a common cause. The bottom line is everything's equal. If you can do the job, you get the pay, you get the benefits, you get those working conditions.
We are collectively together here. So it doesn't matter your gender, your sexual preference, the color of your skin. We all make the same wages. In our movement, equality is for everyone. It's not even an issue for us because we have it. If you know the skill,
you will be paid exactly what your counterpart is paid. We're out there fighting for you. And not just union members, but everybody across the board. We negotiate health care, we negotiate pension plans, we negotiate the hourly rate of pay, and we also negotiate the training.
What we offer is an option, is an alternative to a normal four-year college degree.
Our program is a five-year program that offers you the ability to earn while you learn. You will be employed full-time and about every 2 months spend a week in school.
The apprenticeship program is a 4,000-hour program where we have the apprentices out with a journey worker on-the-job training. They can come in off the street with no training, no skills, very little job history, and come in as a first-grade apprentice. And of course, at the end, they get their DOL certificate, or now a junior worker, and they can take that anywhere in the United States and work full scale.
It's a debt-free diploma, because you're being paid all the way through your training. And once you get into your training, within 2 or 3 months of entering the program, then you pick up health care package and your retirement package. So it's a career path. It's not just a job that you're applying for. This is a career that will take you and sustain you through the rest of your life.
I don't know too many places where they will pay you to go to school and learn this. And it's a great opportunity. You're paid to learn to do this trade, and you make good money. Becoming a diesel mechanic has been the single most invaluable thing to my life. It's been really awesome also for my daughters, just being able to be an example for them.
It's the best decision I made, especially being a woman in this trade. Like, I have backup, really. I'm not competing against the company. You know what I'm saying? I already have the skills. They know I have the skills. I come in and I prove myself still 110%, but they have my back.
Having the benefits, having, you know, the higher pay scale than what non-union people, or even, you know, just the benefit itself, or, you know, to be able to provide for my kids, you know, and be able to take them to the doctor, and that's just awesome.
My daughter, she's 15 now, she goes, you work a man's job, she goes, it's so cool, and I said, well, I work my job, you know?
One of the things I love about construction is the legacy that you get to leave, and so, you know, for me, when I think about children and grandchildren and even my family now, it's so awesome to be able to drive by the buildings and the facilities that you're building and tell them that you were part of what was built there and the significance of that. And honestly, I'm super proud of that every single day. And I leave here with a smile on my face, knowing that the things that we are doing here are making a difference for somebody else.
Thank you. So when we started out on this journey, we of course we raised the question of how are we going to get people to come to this event. And so Marta and I went to the Utah Culture Celebration Center, and I thought, well, you do a little room downstairs that holds about 60, and then our intention is to have breakouts so that you will hands-on work as an electrician for 30, 40 minutes, and hands-on work as an operating engineer. And hands-on worked with the plumbing and pipe fitting and the labor's Local 295, and we had an individual workshop with the Department of Workforce Services and the Department of Education would be there to guide you and help you if you needed to get your high school degree, or you had gone to a workshop and said, oh my gosh, you need some algebra, or you've got to have a high school diploma. So we thought of all those things, so we reserved it for 60. Now we start the marketing. We had to shut it down at 250 women. It wasn't that the Culture Center can't hold that amount, but this wasn't a career fair. You didn't come to the table and get a piece of literature. You were actually going to be broken out and educated for the rest of the day. So we cut that off. So the next thing is, many questions that came across our desk were, first of all, with workers' compensation fund, one of the questions that one asked is, how am I going to be safe on this job? Because, you know, I'm working around all this heavy equipment. So we asked the workers' compensation fund, this is a year-old program, to sit on our morning panel. We had a morning panel. We had Senator Karen Manning come and speak to us, telling us that women do not need a job, they need a career. She was just amazing. We also, our equal protection and civil rights was in New York when it was snowed out. She couldn't come. But also, we had on our panel a woman who is in recovery, working in the unions, also a client of Odyssey, that was willing to tell her recovery story and why a job and feeling dignity is so important to recovery. So we had that on the panel. And then wonderful Department of Workforce Services. I loved working with you guys. You nailed it for us, didn't they, Marta? They had us, I mean, they got us TV. Senator Karen Manning was on TV. We got radio. I mean, they just nailed it. Plus, they did a panel preparing and participating in our apprenticeship, learn and job preparation. So I didn't know this about you folks, and Ed, I would have asked you, but you have what you call them, not social workers, but counselors, to actually talk to the women and say, what are you interested in? So they pushed out in their data all these women that said, yeah, maybe I'd like to be a painter, or maybe I'd like to do non-traditional. It was huge, because when Marta created the e-vite, which went crazy, we had questions about, how did you hear about this? So we know the people, where they came. And then the other side is the Utah State Board of Education. And they pushed that out to their women, their senior women in high school and in these the alternative high schools for the women. And it was beyond our wildest dreams. So then we broke them out. We explained to them what was going to happen. And we broke them out into workshops. When they came back in the afternoon, because of popular demand, we decided to do the afternoon with some more non-traditional jobs, which would have been, we had Rose Rivera as our keynote. However, her daughter was in labor. So we switched it to Susan Davis, who's a personal friend of mine, and she's a professional firefighter and also a captain, retired now at the fire department. So she stepped in and just nailed it, didn't she, Marta? And then we had an electrician talk to them, but we had the Sandy City Fire Department, wonderful Emma. She talked about what she used to do, why she became a firefighter, the Highway Patrol, Mary Kay, the letter carriers, what they used to do, why did they decide to do that. And then we had some, you know, questions and answers after. So this was the very first conference for women, I understand. I know it won't be the last for us. But also, our intention was, when you come to our conference, you're going to know about our program. Now, on the back of the program, you're going to see many non-union contractors were there, many folks that SLIC was there, that had their own programs, you know, Weber Tech, all of those, Twilla Tech. They all came in droves, gave us a little stipend to help with our conference. So we were overwhelmed that it wasn't us and them, it was all of us. We were all looking for one thing, and that is to get women. Now, we know that timing is everything. Everyone is looking for help, and they're all looking. But we felt that we were the ones that were really promoting the women in the trades. So I just thank the commission for this opportunity. Thank you, Marta, for everything you've done for me so far and continue to do for the AFL-CIO. But anyway, that's our presentation. Do you have anything to add, Marta? Anything that...
I think you've covered everything beautifully.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. So we gave you a little swag, a little Rosie the Riveter, and all of that. So thank you, commissioners, for allowing me.
Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner Barnett, for that report back on that conference. And I think this day you guys have been, in the last couple of years, committed in, you know, educating the public at large on the importance of trade and those type of skills and trainings that are paid well, attending school and getting the skills ready for people to be in the workforce, and they want well training, And this is obviously an opportunity for the many, especially women that are in need of being enrolled to get an opportunity to have living wages and quality of life. So, yes, Commissioner.
I want to give you two stories, if I may. The first story is a woman gave me a call. I left my cell phone on the, you know, in the invitation. I wanted them to call personally if they have questions. She is, she said, I'm just turning 40. My son is in high school. I'm a CNN. I'm looking at all of your promotions and everything that you've got. And I'm saying to myself, I'm working in a nursing home and I'm moving patients that are over 100 pounds. I'm on my feet all day. I work early in the morning and I think I can do this. And I said, you can do this. I said, you must do this. You must come and try our program. And then the other story is, you saw Mackenzie there, who is a diesel mechanic, or the, she's the, well, she's not the, yeah, she's the diesel mechanic, isn't she? Well, we promoted, we hired, or put in our program, one of the gals from that Saturday. She went to Brandon Dew, and now she's actually going to school as a diesel mechanic. So there's many others. I didn't get all the stories, but that's the two, and those are the stories that we like to hear.
Yeah. Right. Just want to maybe give some time for your guests. I know you came all the way from your office. Do you guys office in the same?
Yes, yeah, we work together. Yeah,
together. So that's perfect. Do you mind just telling us more about what your job and what you do in your position and
I'm the assistant to the president, which is Jeff Worthington, and so...
President for the FLCIO, right?
Yes. And my job entails taking care of him and any issues that maybe come in and filter requests and things to the proper departments. And that's basically what I do.
Right. And do you mind repeating your name? I'm sorry.
I am Marta Stevenson.
Marta Stevenson. Well, thank you for joining us in the commission. We appreciate what you do for our workers and, you know, making sure that things are moving along and having more women within the FLCIO leadership team and administration is critical as well. It sends the right message, and it's time to get more women in those positions of leadership. So thank you for joining us today. Thank you, Commissioner Barnett. Anything else on this item? Great. Okay, next item in our agenda, number four, is the subcommittee updates. And in our last meeting, we actually ran out of time. So, I'll let who wants to go first? Do you have any of our chairs on those subcommittees? Looking at Commissioner Wallace, she looks very happy and smiling.
I am, because I'm not a committee chair anymore.
Is your chair here?
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
She's the chair.
Okay. So let's start with Commissioner Barnett, and then, okay, perfect. So I'm getting your light. Commissioner Barnett, do you want to just say the committee you work in?
Communications, I guess, is what it is. The website and the communications as well. So, no, we have not met. I'm glad that we're all convening now, and I have a ton of things that I'm popping in and out of my mind, but I have nothing other than the fact that we need to update the website. We're looking for bios, and I mean not bios on all the amazing education that all of you have, but some personal remarks and why you're on this commission, because I know we all have, and some have shorter, some have longer, but what's in your heart is what I think is important as well, why you're here.
So, Commissioner Vernon, would it be then appropriate to request for all members to send a quote or a story that they want to share on the website? And should that be emailed? Should we email them through?
Show it
to Commissioner Barnett, so that's our to-do list. We can add that to our minutes to make sure everyone sends within a week.
And an update picture. I think I have a black and white at UN updated picture that we can get, and representative weight is in.
So now we have from the communications committee, right? We have action items, and that is send a quote or some remarks that you may want to share from your personal perspective on the, about the Women in the Economy Commission. And if you have not sent your new photos, make sure you send that. Representative White and Senator Milner, which are probably available, but just send them. We can send them directly to Commissioner Burnett. Is that okay? Within a week, is that okay?
That's perfect.
That helps her get our website updated. Great. So that's it. What's the next committee that we have?
So there's the research.
Oh, our co-chair is here.
Yeah, sorry. So there's the research subcommittee that was, the chair was Representative Shadows Hauck. So obviously she's not here, so we'll probably need to replace the chair for that committee. And then Jen Kinsey Gardner is the research committee chair, so she's not here either.
Thank you for that. So Representative Chavez, here's what we need to replace our research chair.
Which is policy, is that right?
She's, so Jen is research, and she's on the committee, just not here today.
No,
and then Representative Chavez Hope was on the policy.
Yeah.
And we'll need to replace her.
Okay. So Jen, correct, and she's one of our commissioners. She's the one that chairs the research committee, so we'll just connect with her and see if there's any updates in there, okay? And then the policy, I think we were, it was Representative Charles Huck was the chair, and it was all the legislators were in that, committee. So we can take it back and maybe, I mean, you may want to.
There's some other amazing people on the subcommittee too, like the Pam Perlick and Dr. Susan Manson. They're on the subcommittee as well.
And the policy,
research.
Yeah.
And then also Paul Merrill
served on that. On the policy.
Aaron Jameson served on it, and then I served on it.
Correct. Yeah, I remember. Okay, so we'll reconvene maybe as a committee in the policy now and go from it. Yes. So Representative Commissioner Wade. Yes.
Thank you. I pushed my button. I wasn't sure if you picked those. I'm just curious about what the research subcommittee focuses on. Does the commission choose topics for research, and then that's what the committee does? And then the same kind of thing with the policy subcommittee?
Yes, please.
I serve on both. So the research subcommittee, so they've focused on for the past two studies has really been on the well-being, why women don't continue on in education and don't really join the workforce in the numbers, right, comparative to population. And so the latest research was really fantastic, and Susan Manson, I think, did a great job sending it out among women in the economy that she oversees. They have a whole other group and distribution list. But anyway, and the number one, what they found was they did a bunch of focus groups, and then they also did a survey, and they found that the number one reason why women either drop out of school or don't re-engage in education as well as the workforce was daycare barriers, quality daycare barriers. The second was, I think, transportation, and then, of course, there were nuances within the rural and the urban issues, and so they did, and if the research was funded, I think, I want to say through, I can't remember how it was funded, but...
The commission.
Okay.
We got an appropriation.
So there's been research, and it's available on our website, which will be, you have access to, I mean, everyone has access, but... So there were studies and partnerships with, you know, Utah Valley University and some of his professors. There was actually a grant that we got from Walmart, I believe. So there were, there was a private-public partnership to fund some of this research. To answer your question, I think historically it has been, the drive has been the interest from also higher education institutions that are already working on some of these pieces. Part of the conversations I brought were, wage gap conversations, and I've been running that legislation on wage gap that now has become a whole study on a compensation as a whole for state government. So, that's something that, so if you have any specific issues, we're more than welcome, the commissioners, to bring issues to the table that they may pursue. And I think that's kind of like setting goals for the next year or so as part of that conversation, that we finish that very specific. The mission of our man has been talking about the trades components and this idea that, yeah, there's higher education, but there's other type of training that allows people to also have living wages and quality of life. So I'm trying to tackle issues as they're coming, but if there's anything that you want as a commissioner to address, for sure. Yes, absolutely.
And I think that parlays into the policy subcommittee as well. So the commission has really had robust conversations and really the presentation. So the wage gap, also MLA, benefits, right, those sort of policy questions have, I think, driven sort of like, okay, let's really try to find out where we are. So that's the interplay between the two subcommittees. And then the subcommittee for the policy has been, I think, really just trying to put our arms around goal setting around what do we as a commission do we want to, we don't want to necessarily endorse one policy or another, but how do we weigh in and what should that look like as a commission? So I think we're still in those sort of conversations, but it's the subcommittee is really around, okay, what do we think are going to be the hot button items and what do we want to make sure that we're prepared to understand as it relates to the upcoming session and policies and discussion points. So I think that's kind of how the commission's worked as a whole with the subcommittee.
Just the one other question that I had was when I hear that Dr. Manson is on a subcommittee, so do the subcommittees gather additional people who aren't commissioners that just
So the committees have the opportunity to invite other members that are not commissioners. And there's not an appointment process, so it's very internal, very informal, and they meet at their convenience, and whoever chairs and leads those conversations, those are not open to the public meetings, or, you know, so it's just meetings are happening on site to bring more frameworks. So the time they come here is more discussion, and
because their products would be presented here,
correct.
So that would be just to see their work. Okay, thank you.
Thanks. So we have communications, research, policy. Any other? That's it. That's why I have as co-chair. So I mean, and that's a lot. Just, you know, that keeps us busy. As you guys know, there have been products that have come out of the work of the commission with some of the studies and reports. So those have been published, and part of it has been an opportunity to create private-public partnerships. So I think the commission by itself will be very difficult to be, you know, these are obviously all of you guys are volunteers and unions and your spare time. It's very limited, we know you're busy, but it's also opportunities to collaborate. And I think our biggest mission and what the intent of the legislation has been from the creation of this commission was to keep these issues on the forefront. That every time, you know, for example, one of the issues I want to bring to the commission that I think is critical is the sales tax. I mean, here we are having probably the most important conversation on the potentially one of the largest reforms you'll see in the next, you know, in a decade. And that will change a lot of how we live as Utahns and our consumption and our economic welfare. And for women, I think the fact that the current task force only has one woman appointed is, I think it's important that then, I think as Women in the Economy Commission, we maybe set some pointers or points that we want to ask for the task force to take into consideration as they're drafting pieces of legislation that will have an effect on every resident in the state. So I mean, that's one thing I wanted to maybe put as a goal for this year for us to, as this task force is meeting, and they'll have probably a product that I'm guessing by November. You know, that's not a lot of time. It sounds like a lot, but it's not. That we can maybe work within our committees on some information that we want to put out there. And it doesn't have to be, you know, we don't have to write a research paper of 100 pages, you know, like a PhD dissertation. No. There's people already doing that, and that's great. I think we have an opportunity with the diversity in our voices and experiences to bring a framework, or at least things that should be acknowledged and could take into consideration what decisions are going to be made by the legislature. So that was something I wanted to suggest as maybe our main goal, really, because this is moving really fast, and have that be, you know, there's maybe other projects that could be worked within the committees, but that should be something that any commission should have a say, or at least use what we have as a leverage to bring the voice of women and their needs and situations on this conversation. We have a light with, oh, we'll go to our co-chair and then to Commissioner Burnett.
I'm just wondering from a timeline perspective, if there's enough time to almost set that as an agenda and have various speakers come to the next commission meeting and then, you know, have discussion, and if there's any bullet points from the commission, then there's a formal mechanism to weigh in in a more formal way. And then, you know, hopefully we could invite a lot of the public to be a part of that discussion and really have kind of a robust, almost a, not a survey group, so to speak, but yeah, but I don't know if the timeline works.
It could. So I'll let Commissioner Burnett and then I'll explain, because I was actually just sitting for Senator Maine on the first meeting, and I could talk about time frame, so I'll get that. Commissioner?
So I'm going to indulge here just a moment. I've been on the commission since 2014. I was one of the first folks as well, and I think I represent labor.
Yep.
And in 5 years, we have only focused on women getting their diplomas from a four-year college. And I think my presentation warrants that a goal in some form should be more diversity on this commission, because it isn't the only way. And you all know that. And not that, like I've said to many of you, both my daughters have a graduate degree. They're very well educated, so it's not that I have anything against it. I myself have an associate's degree. So I'm very sensitive about that, and thank goodness I took a career path into the labor union. But that's all I got, just as a goal, to think about on your different policies, when you're talking about various things, and all of the information, the speakers that you have coming in. I know that when we reached out to the governor's office of economic development, they just called us right back. They were so in favor of this. So it's on their radar. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Coach, I
wonder, Judy, if it makes sense to, you know, like we just talked about with the sales tax, to make sure that we maybe use the agenda of the commission to, I mean, maybe before the next meeting, we send out sort of the topic and then among the commissioners, and have all the commissioners who are here, right, say, well, we need to invite as a speaker maybe this organization or, you know, that organization, and maybe that's a way. I mean, because I don't think we can change easily the structure of the commission itself, but maybe in terms of how we run what we do, have that early on, so that we make sure that when we invite speakers, like my experience has been, there's been this really great topic, and then sort of ask questions, and it's, oh, that's a great question. But it would be great to have maybe the agenda set up on sales tax, and then have various speakers that we know robustly, we've talked about, saying, okay, the representative, we don't have this representative, or there's a gap here. I mean, we invite them, even if it is a public member, that, you know, they have something to say later on for public comment. Does that sort of, does that resonate with you? Does that?
Well, okay. So I went to the conference of PAM. Peerage
was fabulous.
Fabulous. She was wonderful. Wonderful. But again, it was only talking about college. Now, the state tax is a huge thing, and it, in all, I mean, everywhere.
Everyone.
Whether you're working or not working, whatever trade you are, it is a very important. So I'm just speaking. Now, I'm not that educated, so I'm just giving it, I get very uncomfortable from all you lovely ladies. So I'm just going to throw it out there. Just when we start doing things that we're going to do or research that we're going to do, we come back with just the same data when it's about women. And I'm reading, I had it online here, who, what we are, when we represent the needs of women and what we can do to help them. It doesn't say women going to college, women going to trade, it's women. And I just don't feel we've been diverse enough. But the sales tax, 100%. Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. Thank you, Commissioner. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you, Commissioner Burnett. We need to acknowledge that and check ourselves.
That's
every time from all the different spectrums, because not everyone comes from the same point. So, and thanks for being here and reminding us of that. So now I'm going to Commissioner Wallace, and then we'll go to Kathy Bonham. Commissioner Bonham.
Thank you. I would, as the chair of the communications committee, I helped put together the first draft of the website that was put online and helped draft guiding principles. We haven't brought them up yet. Of course, if we feel like we need to go back to them, because that should be the space that we fly in and not the other areas. There's so many that we could be in, but I just want to just address the areas that we had already drafted as our guiding principle areas, and they're, and we can read through these, but they're the individual women, families, education, and workplace. So I know you're talking, Judy, about education isn't the only thing that we focus on, but we did set those four areas as our guiding principles. And in the very bottom of the guiding principles statement says that the commission accomplishes its purpose by specifically impacting policy, sharing information, and encouraging influencers in our state. So just to bring us all back to what we are supposed to be doing, this is, again, drafted and voted on by the body. So we, you can find it on the website, Guiding Principles.
Thanks for that reminder, Commissioner Wallace. Commissioner Bones.
I'm glad you brought that up. So I just pulled up those principles. I wasn't going to first talk about this, but now that she brought it up, I wonder if what we do is modify how we define education. Because we've listed in here complete higher education, but that's not it. Like, you're saying you're not educated, you're very, very educated, right? Through experience. And that's, in my opinion, going through college and then graduating and not knowing anything about anything. Real learning is on the job, right? So don't count yourself out. You are amazing. And so I wonder if that's what we should do, is just modify how we define education. It's not just higher ed.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
And I think that even the state has to redefine our goals in education beyond just a diploma of a four-year institution. You know, or we have now, actually, we just created our trade, you know, our whole system for trade and apprenticeship. Mm-hmm. So I think that needs to be modified. So, Commissioner Burnett, another extra homework for you. Do you mind providing some wording that could help us? And maybe we can vote on that wording on the fall, on the next meeting. Will that be okay?
Is it
go ahead,
higher education now?
We will do it, yes.
I would say don't forget STEM. And if you can maybe send it prior, so Shelley can share with everyone, so we can prepare with feedback on how we want to define education for the purpose of this commission for women. Acknowledging that, you know, that would be great. Okay, perfect. We have another thing, and we'll vote on that next meeting. Thank you.
Again. So let's say, for example, we say we want 5 months tax, which is important, right?
Yeah.
So maybe what we do is use the guiding principles to say, do we have everyone invited to the meeting, right, that represents all of those areas, education, and right, all four, so that we're actively inviting people to come join the discussion. But you can still take an issue or a policy that's really critical to your point, and weigh in right at the commission and then get the conversation going, because that should be our main point, is to try to get representative of all, even intergenerational poverty or the individual, right? So let's get maybe some public members here to say what that means to them. So I think inviting them around the meeting structure and using guiding principles would be an interesting way to kind of keep that, grow that conversation.
Correct. So we'll go to Commissioner Lenardi, and then I'll try to recap maybe like steps for the sales tax conversation, because we already have, you know, how we can maybe get those guests that you're talking about and invite them within before the next meeting. But I think I have a process that could help us, Commissioner Lenardi.
I don't want to disrupt anything, but at the same time, I wanted to make sure that I could get approval to work with Judy on her committee. So we'll work together on all of those things.
Oh, great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be perfect. I mean, the goal is to have something you know, like you've obviously thought about this and you have already
ideas.
Yeah. And that's, I think that's good and important, having you guys work together, set in our way so we will be prepared for discussion. And I think it's a worthwhile discussion that should be on the record of this commission, because it sends a good message that we are about including everyone, and we recognize that everyone has different paths and journeys.
Thank you.
In this process, so thanks again. Great. Okay, so now we have Commissioner Wall. Is it related to this before we go to sales tax?
I don't
have a thing. Oh, sorry.
It's mine.
Commissioner White. Okay, sorry.
And this has to do with, we're talking about the next meeting, so
correct.
Is this pertinent?
Yes.
This is the time to think.
Yes.
I'm wondering what the invitation wording is. I'm thinking of the task force is going to be holding town halls for the purpose of listening to people, but I'm wondering with this invitation, what is the exact invitation purpose, so that people are clear when they come what to think about and what to address that has to do with the sales tax and or tax reform or their view on taxes. I just think if we have a specific invitation so they have an idea. I'm also just thinking of not doing the same thing as the tax reform task force.
Yeah. So this was my idea. I mean, and I hope this helps. So the correct to what the commissioner was talking about, the tax restructuring and equalization task force. So here, so actually that's the name of the task force. So it goes beyond sales tax, so we need to acknowledge that. So I think because we all go back to the conversation that we had during the session, which was a very abrupt conversation, it was just about sales tax. This task force, from if you go over there, they actually just issued during the meeting a vision, purpose, principle, and process of the task force. It's going to be a little bit broader, which is it's actually, I think, better, because you know this conversation is to go beyond just sales tax. And if it's sales tax, it's very narrow-minded and scary. You want to go that route. So to answer the question of Commissioner White, I think what we can do, so this is just a process idea, and we can debate this, is maybe put a deadline for commissioners to email the co-chairs what type of guests should we have. And keep in mind, we're not going to have 100 guests then we won't be able to cover everything. And the task force is going to do a lot of that research work. I think what we need to keep in mind is what the task force, the task force is saying we're going to open this and be broad as possible. If you have a November deadline, there's much broadness that you can get to by November, one. And two, they are going to be touring the state. That's correct. And I have the dates here. Those are just going to be hearings for the public to express their feelings. Sounds like therapy. Now, so it doesn't mean they're going to be discussing ideas. It doesn't mean they're going to be bringing forward any specific legislation. So we need to keep in mind that those will only be public hearings for the people to really just talk about how they're feeling about this conversation. I can tell you that for the purpose of just legislation, they're focusing on four solutions from four perspectives. One is to adjust the existing tax rates. So that's everything, right? From income tax to sales tax, property tax, everything. Or two, the other perspective is reduce services and investments. And it's now that's a budget question, right? So we're going to start cutting programs, so whether it's education, social services. The other one will be breakdown of revenue silos, because we do have our silos completely. I mean, our revenue comes around silos, right? So income tax is on its own; you can't touch it. It's by constitution. There is conversation of maybe changing that structure, and then the fourth one is modify completely the tax base. So that's either increase or decrease tax rates. So in the tax base, so. Those are kind of like a framework of how the legislature is tackling this. It doesn't mean that we have to follow that framework. And I'll make sure, actually, that we get you, now that I have a staff here from our Senate staff, get you the information that was shared in that meeting.
Okay.
So maybe that could be distributed to our commissioners as well. That's all online, but you know, just through a link. But our goal is, I mean, now, so my suggestion is this, we don't have to follow this, but just keep in mind, that's probably what's going to come out of that task force, and within that framework, those four areas. So if, I think we have an opportunity to at least raise issues of awareness, of they're having this conversation, we need to tackle maybe 4 points. And it doesn't have to be a lot of wording, it just has to be common sense for issues that matter to women from, you know, from an economic area. And at that point, it won't matter if you have, a, you know, a lot of education, it would just matter how it's going to impact your daily life. So if we think from that perspective, understanding that this legislative conversation will happen, and, you know, we're hoping that whatever we provide for the legislature in this case, right, could be something else tomorrow, but in this case, that could at least help them get a different perspective. Because I can tell you, in their membership, there's not going to be that perspective, except from one member. That's pretty disturbing. So if we can have an opportunity to say, we don't have to solve the problem, we don't have to come up with a path to reform ourselves, we just have to say, look, when dealing with this tax conversation, you know, 40% or 60% of the, you know, the purchases of food happen by women. I mean, I'm sure they'll say, I'm making this up, this is not, you know, don't call me on this. But if that's the case, shouldn't that be a point that should be addressed when they're addressing this issue, and why don't we have more women in the conversation? So points that matter, because that's the reality. It's probably me doing the, you know, the shopping for groceries, and if now they're talking about food you know, sales on food tax, that's changing a little bit of the conversation, and that affects women more than men, I mean, directly, just based on numbers. So maybe that's what I was maybe thinking. So to answer your question, no, we don't have to necessarily do like a hearing with people coming and sharing it, because that's already going to happen. And believe me, those are going to be covered. There's going to be a lot of, you know, TV coverage and media mess. I think we have a chance right now to maybe raise, and maybe we get a chance to present as a commission to the task force. That may be our goal, because we have the dates here, and we can come with a very short report. Like I said, it has to be even bullet points, because plus most people don't read huge long reports. But if we have, you know, the dates of their meetings, and they're meeting, like I said, all over the country, so that, you know, there's 8 meetings, and the last one is July 30th. So and by the way, they're still going to have their own hearings. So these are just kind of like the public meetings, and then there'll be hearings, and those hearings is where they're going to ask you about talking about the, I'm sure there'll be public comment time there. So, I mean, we don't, just so we know, this is not only the dates, this are only for town hall schedules, but they will have hearings like every other task force and committee. So there are chances for us to present. I will make a motion that we set a goal to at least put some points or some framework of conversation related to women in the economy on this specific issue that doesn't have to necessarily address the detail of a policy, because that's going to be hard for us to even understand where they are. This is going to be very flowy and moving forward. So, I mean, that's just an idea, Commissioner.
Do you think that we could invite someone off the task force to kind of summarize where they are now? Right. So, okay.
No, I think we can get staff.
Well, here's
they're the ones that know everything.
Here's why I'm asking, and you know, slapping the back of my hand, that I know the sales tax issue is happening, but I don't know the ins and outs of it. I'm up north. It's not my everyday. I know as legislators, it's front and center and it's really critical, but I don't know the ins and outs. And so I guess I would love to have that forum of whoever comes to say, these are the issues. This is what they're discussing or debating, you know, in terms of the actual issues around it, and maybe this
yeah.
is the
so that's the staff. No, it is. This is staff, and they do this, and it's a 20-minute presentation.
Cool.
And we can have John Fellows from, not John Fellows, sorry, John Ball from our fiscal analyst office. He's the director. and he does his presentation. He will do the same PowerPoint presentation, but I think it's appropriate. And to have our commissioners just know that. So that will put the framework of the crisis that we're facing and the issues.
Well, and I'm thinking of, I mean, it's going to affect people in poverty, right? It's going to affect a lot more people than, and I don't know if we're going to have all of you to get here either, so.
And I think that's our opportunity.
Yeah.
We don't have to be experts in tax reform, by the way, to have a say on this. And actually,
we won't be.
That's right. Yes. Well, and actually, no one in probably two or three of the task force members are experts in tax reform. So, I mean, most legislators are not. So this, we have to, I think my goal will be like, we are the commission that brings, even at an eighth grade level piece to have this conversation so women and people engage in the conversation. It goes back to what you were saying. So let's have, if we can invite, so Jonathan Ball will be the person to invite, and I'm sure him or someone in his staff can come and do the presentation so we get the kind of like the framework why the legislature is having this conversation and the crisis and where we're heading. And then, but also for us to say, look, I mean, do we want to have maybe, you know, I mean, I'm just suggesting, I would love to hear women in different income brackets talking about what would it mean to have a 5% increase or a 2% decrease. And maybe for them, say, well, what does that mean? Well, your income will be $100 a year that you'll get back. Does that matter? And does that matter or not? I mean, that's just a crazy idea. I don't know. And so, Commissioner Barnett, do you mind?
Okay. Yeah, well, the reduced services is something that we...
Oh, that's scary, right? Yeah. The reduction of services is one of the ideas.
Yeah.
And that's at the table, by the way. I mean, many legislators are actually inclined to say, well, maybe we do. We've got 10% on the budget. Or how does that look like? Or do we, for example, one of the other ideas is changing the Constitution and now tapping into the income tax that is 100% going on education. And we continue to be the lowest in the country when it comes to per pupil spending. So those are things that are at the table, and maybe we don't agree as a group on everything. But if there's three or four things that we said, look, in your conversation, this needs to be, you know, things that you need to understand are important to women. And you know, obviously, you're, you know, we're making a generalization, but saying, for example, the sales and food tax. That tends to be a very, very negative impact, especially for women, small moms, I mean, situations like that. So that is something that I think maybe in our majority of us may agree or not and agree to that. And there may be people that may not agree, but we can say the majority of members agree on this position, and that should just be as part of, you know, this organized group with experts from different backgrounds and different experiences. We believe these 3 points are critical guidelines or principles can help as this conversation moves forward.
I wonder if that invitation also might be from previous, so over the past 5 years. I keep pushing that to you. Maybe over the past 5 years, we've had various people present. So the not to invite them to present necessarily, but to invite them just to attend the meeting so that if there is an appropriate public comment, then we do have all of that representation beyond what the commissioners represent.
Oh, yeah. You know, I like that. So maybe we issue an invitation to all of our guests before, and letting them know that in the next couple of meetings we will be discussing this issue, and we would love to have them here if it is, and we will allow a big portion of our meeting to be public comments so they can participate. Oh, shall we do that? So we will have be an invitation to all of our previous guests of saying, you know, you've been a guest of the Women in the Economy Commission, and your feedback has been very important to us, and we will appreciate you participating in our conversation that we will have on tax reform or tax restructuring and equalization. That's actually the wording we're using. And, you know, then we will open public comment for you to give your feedback as this moves forward. I'll get to you, but I know we have a commissioner on our, and then we'll come back to our co-chair.
Just in the clarification of whoever it is that comes and does the presentation, I'm assuming they'll talk about healthcare and the tax that will go through the premium. Women make most of the decisions on health care. That tax will not affect self-funded employers, government employers, and so who will be affected will be small employers, women-owned businesses, individuals. All of those people will be affected by the tax because these women who are making all of the buying decisions, that premium will go directly through to them. So that's something that, as controversial as it is, we have to discuss it.
Commissioner Lunar, do you have a suggestion of someone that could talk about the special impact in small businesses? We can think about it. We don't have to have an answer right now.
Right.
So, for example, that's a great example, right? And maybe there's organizations, obviously, that focus on poverty issues or women issues, that we could talk about small business. Nabu could be, am I saying it correctly? It's been a couple of years since I've worked with them. But maybe have a perspective, even from a national information or data that says, look, if you, you know, heavy-handed go on premiums, these are usually the small businesses, where women are heavily, you know, like, have a lot of numbers from the small businesses.
I'll think about it, because I haven't been a small woman-owned business. I mean, when my premium was $1,500 a month, I thought that was a terrifying thing. You know, I work for a self-funded large employer now. I still pay a lot of money, but for that woman-owned business or small employer, it's still going to go shooting right through. So it is what it is. We just need to be educated and understand it so we can help with that. And I'll figure out somebody who is not related to what I do. I work in the large segment anyway, but I'll find a knowledgeable person who could address that.
I'm also curious, maybe this is a subcommittee, a policy subcommittee conversation, but I'm wondering what all the policies that this would affect, right? Tax incentives and I don't know if that's even appropriate or if that's a rabbit hole that we do not want to jump down, but in my mind I'm thinking, well, if there's these daycare, like a single mother daycare tax waiver, does that then impact them? And I don't want to become an expert on it, but I just want to make sure we know all of those things have been considered.
And so the other thing I will say, keep in mind, we're having the conversation on not anything that we know. I mean, like, this is very open. So I think, you know, I'll tell you, in our caucuses, it's been kind of like a universal position to say we're going to oppose sales tax on food, and just because we know that affects the, you know, the poorest of the poor and really is disproportionately impacting them. And for when you look at the, you know, because you have to outweigh what comes in versus, you know, the policy decision, for our group, our both caucuses have been very adamant to say this is really for $70 million a year to a budget of $18 billion. We don't think the impact to those families that have to make a decision on buying milk or not, because it's 50 cents more or even a dollar more on the, you know, when they're paying, leaving the grocery store, is worth it. And I think that's kind of, they're very obviously very blanket positions that maybe there's three or four of them that we can agree as a group, and we can say this is why, and maybe have some data related to it, and we can speak to that and present without having to be experts on tax reform or have a PhD on it. And, you know, it is pretty complicated. I mean, I'm in the tax, you know, the committee, and it's very, very overwhelming. So anyway, so. We have one more comment and then we'll go back in terms just to finalize process for our staff to be able to put it together and explain it in minutes. I mean, you're doing a lot of magic on that.
She's recording all of it, so she can just verbatim.
Did Commissioner Barnett speak? I didn't remember if we went back to her. Mm-hmm. We did. Oh, okay. So I was wondering if organizations, are we talking perhaps about organizations like the YWCA and Voices of Utah Children, just bringing their perspective specific to how they see taxes, particularly?
It's whoever you think is appropriate, okay. Commissioner. I think we should welcome everyone, and many of them have already been guests of our conversation, so they will be kind of like notified that this conversation is happening. But in the case, for example, Commissioner Lunardi brought just a very specific item, right? And those are taxes and premiums for healthcare, which mostly impacting small businesses. And parents that are like self-employed, correct? So self-employed, in that case, I think we would love to get someone, and let's think all of us, think of us, but someone that could help. And if you have a specific issue, for example, sales tax on food, maybe it's Voices for Youth and Children. I think they have a very in-depth knowledge of that. There will be one that you will email the co-chair and say, hey, I think this is the right person, Commissioner Leonard, and I think of another name from something else. And like I said, we don't want 100 percenters or even 10, maybe 3, 4. But when we open to the public for comments, that's when those individuals that we're going to extend the invitation to be part of our meetings can then come and bring other issues that right now they're probably not even on our radar. Do we agree on that? Okay. So does that sound then like a plan? So let me try to make a motion. So I apologize. I'm not an expert on this. But so my motion is that we, for our next commission meeting, that one, we extend an invitation to our previous guests and presenters, just letting them know that the Women in the Economy Commission will start a conversation on tax restructuring and equalization, and for the fact that the state is now engaging in this conversation, and we think it's important that the perspective of women in the economy should be in that conversation. And that we welcome them to participate, them to come and listen to our meetings, and that we will have a substantial amount of time given to public comment to engage in a conversation with the commission. So that's one thing. So that's my first motion, and extending that invitation. Do I have a second on that motion?
Okay.
Second by our co-chair. And everyone in favor of that, say aye.
Aye.
That should actually open for discussion, sorry. So we'll open for discussion, I apologize. And then the second motion will be, if I'm correct, to invite our commissioners right now of the specific presentations that they feel will be very important for this conversation to email within a week, and then giving everything within a week to the co-chairs, names of, you know, suggestions of a topics and names for that presentation. And i.e. example, for example, what Commissioner Lunardi brought up, which I think is critical. So that will be my second motion, that we put the 1 week piece time frame for suggestions of presenters and issues for the next commission meeting. And so that's my motion, second by our co-chair. Any discussion on that motion? Great. Everyone in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. So those are two things. Oh, we have a third one. Yes, Commissioner.
I don't know if this needs a motion, but to invite Stanford to Baseline, right, to create a baseline structure.
Oh, yeah, so we already have that. Okay. So we that's one of our presenters will be inviting Jonathan Ball to be our baseline analyst director to put in the
paper.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's been there. Okay, perfect. So we have now a lot to do.
Yay.
And so in the community is really
tally all the years the defendant might be looking at if he was found guilty by a jury.
Sounds interesting.
I know. I'm like, this is a Netflix movie.
It's a podcast.
It's a podcast. So the other thing is just to our committees, make sure we don't forget that we're supposed to send out posts of why this is important to us to commission for men, and pictures to the new members. Bios, also bio representative Commissioner White. And then I think the committees can start also within their committees discussing the tax restructuring piece. I think that's worthwhile. So the committees can come back with some ideas as well. Anything else that we need to talk about at this point?
Did we want to,
Oh, please go, yeah, Commissioner.
Do we want to, well, you're going to just do that from the camera. Sorry. Do we want to nominate someone for the policy subcommittee, or do we want to wait until the next meeting to do that?
Maybe
you need to replace the chair of the policy subcommittee.
Do you want to be the policy?
Yeah. I think that'd be dangerous.
Okay.
Just because I'm just I like to give my two cents, but the chair that I don't know if I can give that justice, and I wonder if we want to make it have one of the policymakers.
Yeah, we discussed that we wanted to do that. Representative White looks like she's ready to co-chair that to chair that committee.
Okay.
I nominate yes, to be the chair of the policy committee, and we'll talk more about it. I'll be there in your committee. So we actually have all the legislators in that committee.
I'll support you too.
Yeah. Great. Is everyone in favor to that nomination to support President White as our co-chair for the policy committee? Say aye.
Aye.
Great. Well, this has been a very effective meeting. Thank you very much. I'll let you guys out before the end of the meeting. One more thing from our staff. Yes.
Do you want to make sure that every first Tuesday works for everybody, like every other month, so August 6th is going to be okay? Should we keep it that way?
Every other month.
Yeah. That's what we have.
First Tuesday. Okay.
It's sitting on the calendar. Yes, ma'am. Do we have... Do you know something I don't know? Probably. Okay,
I think I'm actually at a women's conference on August 6th.
Check, please.
August 6th.
And we also we have to set up a time just so it's you know obviously it's just a horrible day for me, but I'll be here because why not? I mean, this is gonna be a mayoral way.
Oh,
that would be. Oh, wow. Well, that's okay. Well, no, it's August 13th. So
I know it is, but 6th you're gonna be.
Yeah.
Remember me?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
Like tears in my eyes. If I don't look like I'm all there together, there'll be an excuse for that, right?
We're at NCSL on August 6th.
Oh, yeah.
Where are you in August 6th?
And it's still the National Council of
National Legislators.
So, yeah, so you'll have, I mean...
There'll be no one.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to NCSL because I'm it's a great conference. Where is it? LA? Is it LA? Where is the NCSL?
It's in Nashville.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah. Most of the... Legislature will sign.
So we have August. Well, we can move the August meeting. I mean, do you guys are okay with that? Now, I'll tell you, it's not going to be 13 because that's election.
Yeah, my question is, in terms of the timeline, if November is the task force completion, how soon? And then I also don't want to push back in August because then we run into vacations before school.
No, we have to do August. When is NCSL?
Is that midweek?
NCSL is August 5th through 8th. So people are flying out on Sunday night and getting back Thursday night.
So the
previous Tuesday is the 30th of July. And then the 13th of August, the 20th of August.
When is the 30th, July 30th, guys? Because I think we're for the interim. I mean, the next Tuesday is election day. I may not be okay, guys. And then I know don't say Wednesday or Thursday, because I'm going to be like, I'll be like, not okay if I lose the race. You know, I'm here crying in a fetal position. That's just not me.
Great.
So the 30th is the Tuesday before the August, and maybe we just do an exception because most of the legislators are participating in the NCSL. Okay. So, you know that.
Yeah.
Could we do a doodle poll, and then maybe that will help really see if that's possible?
I'm just afraid when we do that, like, it doesn't happen. So, like, if we have the people that are sitting here okaying June 30th, and we already took for Milner's purpose and the SMB, NCSL won't be an issue for them.
You mean
I'm sure there will be if we play along.
You mean July 3rd?
July
3rd? July 3rd, yes. Good Tuesday.
Yeah. Can either be here or not.
So. Yeah. Is that okay? Thank you for checking on that.
Mm-hmm.
And then and we'll just try to go like this. So
okay.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Anything else from staff? No, Commissioner Bonos, anything? Legal counsel doing okay? DWS is not sued, okay? We're fine.
Oh, we're always getting sued.
Yeah, no, that's how you guys know. Right? Okay.
No merit to them.
Yeah, of course, of course. Anything else? Are you struggling with July 30th?
Yeah, I'll be up in BC for the night. And it takes a 15-hour drive.
Like BC, like?
Like BC, Canada.
Oh.
So the 31st would work.
Okay, check everyone on the 31st. You have fine because we do want her. No, that's fine.
That's
good. That's what we're here. We can check on this.
31st,
guys, is a Wednesday. Everyone okay?
Wednesday.
We're fine.
Yeah.
Commissioner Wallace?
August 1?
You're okay.
For me?
Looking at Representative
Wade.
What about August
1? Let me look. I think.
I don't even know where
I don't have a lot because I have everything else. Me too. Me too. I'm trying.
Well, I just have to be the only time I'm here.
You want to know what's up?
31st not work?
I think I'm traveling to Southern Utah on the 31st, but I'm wondering about the time of day, if it might work if we go a little earlier.
Yeah, well, you
get packed and hop in the car, and because I think I have a ticket to a Shakespeare play.
Oh, okay.
My, like, 40th year going down, so.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So, well, I mean, our meetings take place from 10 to noon. It's kind of like this. Will that be?
I think 10 till noon will work if we just.
Do you want to do it from 9 to 11?
If we could go from 9 to 11.
Everyone, okay.
Feel
okay,
safer.
Let's do 9 to 11. You can go in the 31st.
Okay.
And so I think we can. I'll be, and we know that something could come up, guys.
We're in July.
Like, and feel like you're at the hospital. Yeah, I'm like hospital. I was like, oh, I need to get
the different.
But at least we try now. Okay. Okay.
Yes, just confirm the whole package right now. So Wednesday, July 31st,
9 to 11. Yes, ma'am.
Shelley will send
out. And Shelley will send us calendars. Okay.
So as long as we're doing
great. Okay, we're doing great. Okay. Thank you, everyone, for your time, your commitment. Enjoy the summer that begins. So your kids are in school. That's a nightmare. That's me this week. Starting next week, I don't have school.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Great. Thank you, guys. Have a wonderful day. And a motion. Do I have another motion?
Move to adjourn.
Perfect. It's undebatable. Everyone answers yes.
Yes.
Okay.